Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This column is called Crime in Brief. DPS, Odessans die attempting to evade police. Two Odessa men died Sunday night when their car crashed into a building in Crane, according to Department of Public Service officials. DPS reported Adrian Elijah White, 20, was driving a 2021 Kia Forte northbound on U.S. Highway 385 at a high rate of speed. White was attempting to evade law enforcement officers, DPS reported, and the driver lost control of the Kia and drove into a building. White and Aaron Robert White, 17, were pronounced dead at the scene. The crash took place at 11:01 p.m. DPS, trooper crashes into parked car during pursuit. A Department of Public Safety trooper was involved in a vehicle pursuit that ended in a crash on Monday morning in Odessa, according to DPS reports. At approximately 11:08 a.m., a trooper attempted to stop a 2019 black Nissan for a traffic violation. But the driver refused to stop, according to the DPS. A vehicle pursuit began on Whitaker Avenue. During the pursuit, a DPS patrol unit struck a parked vehicle and a fence in the 200 block of Casa Grande. The occupant of the parked vehicle was treated on scene by Odessa EMS and released, DPS reported. The trooper was not injured, and the crash scene is under investigation. At this time, the suspect is not in custody, and DPS is working to confirm a possible identification. This column is from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. This is the opinion page. This column is called Letter from the Editor. U.S. Needs Leaders to Concentrate on Basics by Stuart Doreen, Editor of Midland Reporter-Telegram. There are some who look forward to November and the impending Republican revolt. They say maybe the momentum can carry over to 2024. To that I say, Republicans, don't sell yourself short. A Republican majority for a decade minimum is there for the taking if the party's leaders are up for it. Just don't be greedy. Stop this practice of political overreach that has limited Republicans and Democrats and divided our country for the last three decades. Limit this stupidity that comes out when a political party gets too big for its britches. Today's article isn't a roadmap for 2022. That's taken care of. I'm not even sure it is a pathway to 2024. If the Republicans get out of their own way, that shouldn't be a problem either. I'm thinking more long-term. Let's start. Donald Trump says he's not running in 2024 and backs a conservative movement. Conservative columnist Mark Thiessen provided a good reason for this. The party doesn't need an obvious one-term president. Political agendas get hijacked when others are campaigning for your position days after you take the oath of office. Here's a second reason. Republicans will have an easier time winning if Trump says he's out. The Democrats then can't make the race a referendum on Trump. Don't let that happen. Make the next 2 years a referendum on Joe Biden. This is the candidate Democrats wanted. They wanted Biden to be that bridge to a left-wing America. Make them pay for it. Biden has been horrendous on everyday American issues, inflation, immigration, the deficit, and even foreign policy, to name a few. More importantly for Republicans and a possible takeover, he has given conservatives their Jimmy Carter that led to the GOP controlling the White House for 12 years. If Democrats want to hang their hat on this man, get out of their way. Be right on the right issues. At the state convention, Texas Republicans felt the need to address secession. By any measure, this was dumb. It gave National Democrats and an electorate a reason to think Republicans aren't serious about governing. The beauty about where the Republican Party is right now, with control of two of three branches of government likely in 2023, is that the GOP is months away of being in control of just about everything. Having written that, be boring. Concentrate on the bread and butter issues. The economy, government spending, keeping America out of other nations' wars, securing the border, and showing government can, from time to time, be the answer. Save the stupidity for a Democratic Party with no real leader. If Democrats want to talk about abortion, demand they defend third-term abortion and move on. If Democrats want to talk Green New Deal, remind them about the price of gas. If Democrats want to talk about government needing to do more, be the party that says our long-term deficits and national debt at $30.5 trillion matter. Because of Biden, any chance of an Obama coalition is gone. Don't do dumb things to allow them to rebuild it. Don't be vindictive. You often hear Republican talking heads say they can't wait for Republicans to take control of Congress and there can be hearings about Joe Biden's degenerate son. I have no fondness for Hunter Biden, but our nation is not better wasting resources on him. Americans want our leaders focusing on the issues, not distracting us with show trials. Don't take the bait. Forget about putting any real effort into Hunter and concentrate on his father as the face of a movement that has seen its better days. Show the Americans who decide elections that you care about their issues, not fighting fights from 2020 and other times gone by. If one wants a blueprint for how to get the Republican Party that controls nationally, look at Texas. It has been the issues that put Hispanic counties along the border in the red column. It has been the lack of imagination and lack of a political bench that has kept Democrats on the outside looking in. It is the business climate that keeps corporations coming from blue states. A spike in Republican candidates winning appears inevitable. The issues nationally favor the GOP. The lack of a bench is a huge issue for Democrats. The Democratic Party is on the verge of losses in 2022 and 2024 that will change the political landscape. Can Republicans take advantage for more than 4 years? Sure. All that is required is that its leaders focus on the long term.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Tuesday, July 5th. Economist creates community snapshot for OC by Ruth Campbell. Odessa College's senior research economist Blair Roberts puts pieces of data together to construct a more complete picture of the college and community population. This helps with what courses are offered and generally the population OC serves. The student population is a little more than 60% Hispanic and about 5% Black. As a community, Roberts said, the poverty rate in Ector County is 13%, compared to 14.2% in Texas. This is from the American Community Survey through the Census Bureau. Roberts uses data from the Census Bureau, Texas Workforce Commission, and Texas Education Agency. The purpose of it is just to provide a general overview of who we serve. When you're in Odessa, and I always include Midland, even though Midland's not in our service area, because some of our students who come through here will graduate and move to Midland, Robert said. When you stay close to Odessa, Midland, and Andrews, for example, those cities are similar. But when you really get out into Presidio and those areas is when it changes. The type of industries will change. We were primarily petroleum in Midland and Odessa, and as you get out further west, you get more agriculture and you get more tourism because you're picking up Big Bend, Robert said. Ector County's population, according to the 2020 census, was 165,000. That has been since 2010 and about a 20% growth rate and population in Ector County, Roberts said. He added that the median age in the country is 30.6. So we are a relatively young country compared to Texas, which is 34.8. The United States is 38.2. For Ector County, 30% of our population is under the age of 18, Roberts said. A little more than 76% of the population has at least a high school diploma or a GED. The percentage of those with less than a high school diploma is 23.4. That's for people above 25 years old. Our attainment rate is lower than the state of Texas for bachelor's degrees or higher. We're like 16.6% and Texas is 30.7, he added. The attainment rate for at least a high school diploma is higher in Texas and the U.S. than Ector County, he said. The median income of households in Ector County is $63,096. In Midland County, it's $83,217. This is Roberts' 12th year with Odessa College. My duties include data analysis, which is the primary IE, institutional effectiveness function, but a lot of that deals with labor statistics, so I look at the programs that we offer and how they align with your regional market. So are people who graduate from OC or get a certificate from OC, do they have the opportunity to move into a good field, which is going to provide a good salary and good stability? And of course, you get something like nursing, and the answer is yes, of course, Robert said. He added that he gathers information on how an industry looks, how much people in it earn, and job growth prospects, so different departments have data to support whether they should move forward with offering a course. Roberts also looks at graduation and transfer rates, where students are transferring to and how long it takes students to graduate. This information is collected by any institutional effectiveness department, whether it's OC, University of Texas Permian Basin, or Midland College. The top transfer destination for most OC students is UTPB, he said. Texas Tech and Midland College, to some degree, are also preferences. Roberts is able to collect average wages of different cities such as Midland, Odessa, Lubbock, and Amarillo. I will list it by city as appropriate. I'm able to also get average wages for the Permian Basin Workforce Development Area, Roberts said. I also will do Texas, and I will do the United States. Then I look at job growth prospects. What's the estimated annual job openings? Are they projecting, and those projections come from the Texas Workforce Commission, unless I'm looking at United States data. And the United States data, it's coming from ONET, he added. ONET is a federal government website that shows all occupations, what the occupations do, what kind of skill set is necessary for the occupation, and what kind of academic background is necessary. He said anyone can access the site. Then they also provide some wages as well for that occupation, Robert said. He took a bachelor's degree from Texas A&M University and majored in economics and minored in education. He also has two master's degrees, one in economics from Baylor University and a master's degree in education from UTPB. Roberts has taught at the high school and college levels. He did some institutional effectiveness work part-time at OC. I just liked going through the data, going through the numbers, he said. Roberts grew up in Odessa, graduating from Permian High School. His father, Joel Roberts, was the city attorney for decades. A schoolteacher most of his life, Roberts worked for the Federal Reserve Bank in Dallas as an economic education specialist. He prepared economic material for use in mostly high school classrooms and to give presentations about how to teach the material. I was at the Fed during the financial crisis of 2008. We got called into a room, and there were about 10 of us, media marketing people and economic specialists, Roberts recalled. They said tomorrow's going to be a bad day, he added, And so that's kind of when everything started to happen. And then that was the last I heard of that, because we were focused on very specific things, the non-economy stuff. We focus on the teaching of economics. I got fascinated in the history of money, American money, Robert said. Vice President of Institutional Effectiveness Janice M. Hicks said Roberts plays an important role in her department. In the senior research economist role, Blair Roberts provides the OC leadership team with labor market intelligence data that ensures our academic and workforce programs are aligned with the current and future economic needs in the Permian Basin, allowing us to remain cutting edge in contributing to the talent pipeline in our region. As a result of his diligent work, Odessa College is able to help students identify the best credential of value that leads to social mobility for their families and ultimately the community, Hicks said. Quick hits. Support group meeting. Parkinson's Disease Support Group has scheduled a meeting at 5:30 p.m. today at Mid-Cities Church, 8700 Highway 191, Midland. For more information, call 432-684-3999. Hope for the Heart. Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland, has scheduled Hope for the Heart from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesdays, today through August 9th. Hope for the Heart is a free series of classes that offers encouragement, education, and an opportunity to share your stories, struggles, and successes in a safe, compassionate place. There are no time limits on when a loss occurred or its circumstances. Sea Creatures Scavenger Hunt. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a Sea Creatures Scavenger Hunt through July. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Toy Drive. Meals on Wheels, 1314 East 5th Street, is collecting prizes to give away to young volunteers that serve during the summer. New toys such as water guns, water balloons, art supplies, board games, books, puzzles, ages 10 through 12, etc., are welcome. Toy donations may be dropped off at MOW between 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. For more information, call 432-333-6451. Visit MOWodessa.com or reach them on Facebook. Volunteers needed. Meals on Wheels of Odessa is in need of volunteers. Volunteer opportunities, drivers, kitchen staff, and Mud Bug fundraising. To sign up or for more information, call 432-333-6451. Email volunteer@mowodessa.com or visit mowodessa.com. Fundraiser. The Ector County Sheriff's Office is currently raising funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. All donations are 100% tax deductible and benefit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP, funding research, education, advocacy, and support for those affected by suicide. The ceremony, Out of the Darkness, will take place October 22nd at Memorial Gardens. Registration is 6:45 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. Open ceremony is at 7:30 p.m. Problem solved. He canceled his driving trip for medical reasons. Will Tripmate cover his costs? By Christopher Elliott. After Stanley Wales cancels his diving trip to Bonaire, he files a travel insurance claim with Tripmate. What's taking it so long to respond? Question. My wife and I planned to travel to Bonaire for scuba diving late last year. Before our departure, I went to the hospital with abnormal bleeding. My urologist told me not to travel, especially out of the country. I canceled my plane tickets on Delta Airlines and my reservations at Belmar Bonaire Oceanfront Apartments. Delta gave me credit for future use, which I have used, so no problem there. I contacted TripMate, my travel insurance company, to begin my claim for the rest of the trip. I have been waiting for months for my refund. I have contacted TripMate several times and keep getting the same message that my case is under review. Can you please help me with the refund? Stanley Wales, Perry Hall, Maryland. Christopher Elliott writes, TripMate should have paid you by now. I reviewed your claim. You had a travel insurance policy that covered cancellations for medical reasons. You also had a note from your urologist on letterhead explaining that you couldn't travel. Now that's a slam dunk if I've ever seen one. So what went wrong? I suspect your claim came in at a busy time for TripMate. Simple insurance claims take only a few days to process under most circumstances. But higher value claims, usually anything over $1,000, have to be reviewed more carefully, and you might have to wait weeks or even months to get your check. I know that because I've also had to wait months for my own travel insurance claim to be paid. It can test your patience even if you fully understand what's going on behind the scenes. TripMate asks for 30 days to process its claims. By the time you contacted me, you had waited far longer than that. You can reach out to the company directly to inquire about a delayed claim. If it doesn't respond, you can contact someone at a higher level. I list the names, numbers, and emails of the TripMate customer service executives on my consumer advocacy site, Elliott.org. I contacted TripMate on your behalf. A few days later, you received a check for the full amount of your claim. Christopher Elliott's latest book is How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler, National Geographic. Get help by contacting him at www.elliott.org/help. Death notices from the Odessa American for Tuesday, July 5th. Cindy Diane Ross Anderson, 63, of Odessa, died Saturday, July 2nd, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m., July 7th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Pastor Larry Hood is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Shauna Miller Wilson, 49, of Odessa, died Sunday, June 26th, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 5th, at American Heritage Cemetery in Midland. Pastor Mike Bartlett is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jerry Wade Stamps, 76, of Odessa, died Saturday, July 2nd, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., July 6th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Damiana to increase sexual drive. To your good health for Tuesday. Dear Dr. Roach, I read about Damiana as a treatment to increase sexual drive. Is this safe and effective? Dr. Roach writes, Damiana is an extract from the Ternera diffusa shrub found in California and Mexico. There has not been a lot of research on Damiana. Some animal studies show benefit in males but not females. With small studies in human females showing benefit in combination with a variety of other herbs, there is very limited data on safety, with one possible case of cyanide poisoning following a very large ingestion of Damiana extract, and another of reported case of convulsions. In recommended doses, Damiana is probably safe, but I can't recommend it based on current safety and efficacy data.
This is the Dear Abby column. Grandparents have opinions on what's best for young man. Dear Abby, our 26-year-old college-educated grandson, Ethan, crashed his company car and was arrested for DWI and possession of more than a gram of cocaine. His mother hired a lawyer, posted bond, and is taking full charge of the situation. Ethan lost his responsible job, and his girlfriend kicked him out. He has a sizable inheritance, enough to pay the lawyer and fine. Since he has never been in trouble before, we are hoping he won't go to jail. Although we love Ethan dearly, his dad and I agree he should handle this on his own without his mother, who is recently divorced from our son, running to his rescue. Ethan also needs help with his addictions. He has enough 529 account funds to turn this serious mistake into an opportunity to return to college and get a master's degree. I don't know how much to get involved directly with Ethan or his mother. Though my wife and I are on good terms with his mother, it appears she doesn't want our advice. I welcome your suggestions on what to do. Signed, Upset Granddad in Texas. Dear Granddad, you can voice your opinion, but beyond that, you should stay out of it. As well-meaning as you are, you can't force your former daughter-in-law, who is in full mother mode, or Ethan, to abandon the path they are on. All you can do is point out the dangers they may encounter along the way and hope they will listen, however frustrating it may be. Dear Abby, my fiancé and I recently moved to a new area because his job was relocated. He was really excited to start this new adventure, and I was happy to come along. We've been together for 10 years, high school sweethearts, and we got engaged just before we moved. I noticed he had been Snapchatting with someone. When I asked him about it, he refused to tell me who, but said I shouldn't be concerned. Eventually, he did tell me. It's a female co-worker. I don't know much about her, other than that she is recently divorced. I'm happy she's out of a bad situation, but I don't understand why she's Snapchatting my fiancé. I also don't understand why he hid it from me until I made a big deal out of it. There are other details about her, which I'm not sure are 100% true, that could change my point of view about this, but since I don't know her, they are hard for me to believe. Should I be concerned, or is my anxiety taking over? I'll be addressing this with him again, but I'm not going to blow up in his face about it. Signed, Doubting in South Dakota. Dear Doubting, I'm glad you're not going to blow up, because all it would do is make your fiancé defensive. You do, however, need to have a discussion with him about this co-worker. If you feel he hasn't been completely honest about her or her circumstances, and he has become secretive, recognize it as a huge red flag and proceed from there. Do not get married before this is resolved. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.